Hello and welcome back to the Archaeology News Weekly. I'm David Connolly. Apologies for last week's broadcast. It seems that there were some technical glitches and I'm afraid some evil hackers as well. Anyway, we're back on track, and can I say that this news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details in each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. A prehistoric cache found in Minnesota puzzles archaeologists no more. Fishermen find an ancient boat in the Black Sea, and we report on another busy year for archaeology on Orkney. The oldest ever stash of marijuana is found in China, and the season's colour for Paleolithic people in China may have been red. An ancient pathway is found in a Vietnamese cave, and research sheds light on Ohio's ancient earthworks. There's an exciting discovery of a 5,500-year-old settlement near Nazca in Peru, and a stone circle is moved onto a suburban estate in England. The enigma of Lake Ontario's 11,000-year-old footprints comes to light, while Iron Age pottery and flint tools are unearthed in Ireland. Finally, a grant is set up to help archaeologists dig into your archives in the UK and abroad. In the late 1930s, Adolf Schumann was ploughing a cornfield on his family's farm in Minnesota when he hit a rock. When he looked, he found an arrowhead. He then found another, and more. Adolf came back with his younger brother, Alfred, and they soon filled a sack. It was a cache of stone tools left behind 12,000 years earlier by the land's first inhabitants, one of the most significant archaeological discoveries in the region. The boys would be old men, though, before they knew the significance of their find. Little is known about North America's first settlers, but archaeologists believe they were nomadic hunter-gatherers, using spear points, knives and other tools flaked from hard sugar quartz sandstone, found in only a few places in the area. One such outcrop was near Black River Falls. There, archaeologists discovered people chipped out rough tool blanks that could later be shaped for specific uses. They carried these stone forms on their hunting forays and then buried caches, which they could return to. And 12,000 years ago, a band stashed about 20 pounds of stone tools at the site of the brothers' farm. Over the years, the Schumann brothers found more artifacts in the field and added them to the sack. Neither gave them much thought until one day in the mid-60s, when Al read a newspaper story in which an expert said there was no Indian artifacts found in the county. They called up, and soon the artifacts were catalogued and added to the collection, and there they sat for more than 40 years. Until 2007, when a University of Wisconsin graduate student named Andy Blodorn took a summer internship at the Historical Society to inventory the collection. On coming across a cardboard box with the words sugar quartz specimens on it, he looked inside and there were 65 pieces, all from the same site. The cache is now part of the Native American collection at the History Center of Olmsted County, where it's on display. It's an incredible time capsule, one of only about 20 from that period found in the whole of North America, and likely the oldest in the region. There's hope for a grant so that archaeologists can properly excavate the site and discover so much more. And all I can say to that is I wish they hadn't waited all this time before reporting. And of course, I wish that things had been looked at slightly quicker. But then that's a way of archaeology. A well-preserved wooden dugout canoe, probably dating back to the prehistoric age, has been discovered at the bottom of the Black Sea. The vessel was discovered by fishermen trailing nets along the sea bottom some 15 miles off the coast. The dugout is 2.6 metres long and 70 centimetres wide, and is probably made of oak. Bulgarian explorers have found four ancient vessels in remarkably good condition in the Black Sea, where the oxygen-depleted deep water preserves wrecks without any deterioration that normally affects wooden vessels. The 2008 summer archaeological season in Orkney has been full of activity. Excavations included the continuation of investigations at Strawnsea, Wyre, Ness of Brodgar, the Cairns, Notlin Links and Scale Bay, and a rescue excavation in Ede. Trenches were reopened from a previous dig at the Ring of Brodgar, and an initial investigative season at the Broch of Deerness was also undertaken. The Mesolithic site at Lynx House in Stronsay has produced over 10,000 pieces of flint, including tools and evidence for on-site napping activity. The Lynx House flint assemblage represents the largest collection of material for this period in Orkney, and also the nature and extent of the feature evidence at the site is unparalleled within the region. A further season of excavation is planned for next year in 2009. Excavation at the early Neolithic site on Wyre continued and has yielded 8 polished stone axes so far, as well as thousands of pieces of pottery, flint and stone tools. Fieldwork has also uncovered a series of dwellings and an extensive working area spread over several hundred square metres, all apparently dating to the early Neolithic. And although there's only 17 people living on Wyre today, this is the lowest population that's ever been there, as it seems it was a thriving farming community several thousand years ago. At Lynx of Notland on Westray, an excavation continued on the prehistoric site, whilst at the Cairns excavation on South Ronaldsay, a large Iron Age settlement thought to be occupied between 400 BCE and 400 CE was also further explored. Researchers say they have located the world's oldest stash of marijuana in a tomb in a remote part of China. The cannabis is about 2,700 years old and was clearly cultivated for psychoactive purposes rather than just as a fibre for clothing, so says a research paper in the Journal of Experimental Botany. The 789 grams of cannabis were buried alongside a light-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian man, likely a shaman of the Gushi culture near Turpan in northwestern China. The extremely dry conditions and alkaline soil acted as preservative, allowing a team of scientists to carefully analyse the stash, which still looked green, although it had lost its distinctive odour. Remnants of cannabis have been found in ancient Egypt and other sites, and the substance has been referred to by authors such as the Greek historian Herodotus. But the tomb stash is the oldest so far that could be thoroughly tested for its properties. The 18 researchers, most of them based in China, subjected the cannabis to a battery of tests, including carbon dating and genetic analysis. Researchers could not determine whether the cannabis was smoked or ingested, as there was no pipes or other clues in the tomb of the shaman, who was about 45 years old. The large cache was contained in a leather basket and a wooden bowl, and was likely meant to be used by the shaman in the afterlife. The tomb also contained bridles, archery equipment and a harp, confirming the man's high social standing. Well, I can't resist the temptation. That's a mind-blowing find, man. The colour red, which represents luck, happiness and passion in China, could have been used in clothing 15,000 years ago. Li Zhangyang, a researcher with the Henan Provincial Institute of Cultural Relics and Archaeology, said in a recent interview. According to Li, the excavation team found more than 20 pieces of hematite, one of iron oxides commonly used as dye stuff, alongside 3 dozen thin instruments made of animal tooth enamel, plus 7 needles made from the upper cheek tooth enamel of a rhinoceros, now extinct, from strata dating back 15,000 years. Through excavation, they are confident that the hematite was deliberately brought to the Zhuchang ruins from afar by ancient people, as Zhuchang does not actually produce such a mineral. The ruins used to be the location of a lake where activities such as cloth making, food preparation, and other such activities were clustered. He believes that the people who lived there might have used hematite to dye their clothes, which was quite different from the upper caveman at Zhukodian of Beijing, who used hematite as a sacrifice to the dead, or from Europe, where ancient people were using it to draw cave murals. Li said that lab work proved that the thin tools made of animal tooth enamel might have also been used as buttons or toggles. There's evidence that people from this time wore sophisticated clothes, and if they did, then the potential is the people wore red. Traces of a pathway used by ancient people 21,000 years ago have been discovered at the Zom Trai Caves in the northwestern province of Vietnam. Scientists from the Center of Southeastern Asian Prehistory recently made the discovery during an ongoing preservation project at the site. The Zongtrai Cave represents a typical residence of the Hulbin culture, which dates from 34,100 years ago until 2000 BCE. The researchers have discovered traces of approximately 6 meters of a road at the south end of the cave mouth. The route had been hidden by several layers of stones and debris that had fallen over time due to landslides and other events. Researchers discovered 10 meters of another route linking the cave mouth to the foot of the mountain. The route was between 10,000 to 21,000 years old. The researchers planned to make silicon moulds of the traces to preserve them, using the most modern of techniques. High Bank Works is an ancient earthwork built along the Scioto River Valley in Ohio nearly 2,000 years ago by the Hopewell culture. It consists of an enormous 20-acre circle connected to an octagonal enclosure of similar size. Originally, the walls of the earthwork were 12 foot high, but after decades of ploughing, they've been reduced to a few bumps in a cornfield. The remnants of the earthwork are preserved as part of the Hopewell Culture National Historical Park. High Bank Works was featured in 2 presentations given this month at the Ohio Archaeological Council. The Cleveland Museum of Natural History described recent investigations of the earthwork using archives, geophysical remote sensing, and test excavations. In anticipation of the increase in tourism that will follow on from the nomination of several Ohio mound sites, including High Bank Works, to the World Heritage List, the Center for the Electronic Reconstruction of Historical and Archaeological Sites at the University of Cincinnati is working with several partners to develop the Ancient Ohio Trail. A team of Peruvian and German archaeologists have discovered the remains of a human settlement 5,500 years old near the southern town of Nazca, south of Lima. The project is headed by Peruvian archaeologists and with Germany's Markus Reindl. The find is the first discovery in southern Peru of an inhabited site corresponding to the late portion of the Archaic period, some 3,500 BCE. One of the project researchers said that the excavations made at the site since last October enabled the team to find the remains of 8 small oval-shaped and circular homes made by digging deep pits into the ground. They also found up to 19 graves of children and adults interned individually within the homes, which would seem to indicate that they were buried there after the homes had been abandoned. In some of the graves, archaeologists found carved bones and snail shells, deer horns, necklaces, and bracelets made from shells, but there was no concrete evidence of offerings to the dead or to deities. The researchers are seeking to expand their knowledge about the culture in southern Peru in the early epoch of around 5,500 years ago, up until the Inca civilization in the 16th century. John and Suki Burton imported 13 stones, possibly of prehistoric origin, from their former Weymouth mansion when they downsized to a detached house in Dorchester, in England. The ancient history of the 13 mossy chunks is lost, but they're reputed to have originated from Portland. Early last century, they were bought by a member of the Burberry family for their mansion at Weymouth. Thomas Burberry, founder of the famous clothing firm, lived there during World War I. When Mr. and Mrs. Burton bought Abbott's Court in 1980, they discovered the stone circle in the overgrown grounds, together with a large collection of fossils. When they moved to the house in Dorchester, they decided to take the stones with them. Neighbours watched in bewilderment as Druid John and hereditary witch Suki used a crane and a huge truck to transport the 6-foot stones to their new abode. The couple, both antique dealers, aligned the stones at special points along which they believe is a ley line around their garden, which hopefully encircles it with positive energy. Well, what more can you say to that? I'm sure that's how the ancients did it as well, with a huge crane and a truck. Anyway, moving along to more serious archaeological matters. In 1908, while building a waterworks tunnel east of Hanlon's Point in Toronto Bay in Canada, a work crew came across 100 footprints in a layer of blue clay. The prints appeared to be left by people wearing moccasins 11,000 years ago. It was an astounding discovery, perhaps the first evidence of human habitation on Lake Ontario, but few recognised its significance. It looked like a trail, the city inspector W.H. Cross said about what he saw that November day. You could follow one man the whole way. Some footprints were on top of the others, partly obliterating them, and there were footprints of all sizes, and a single print of a child's foot, 3.5 inches long. He went on to describe the way the clay had shot up under the imprints of the heels, how the prints appeared to be heading north, and how he had tried to lift a piece of clay to preserve the print, but it broke away in his hand. The group, likely a family judging by the different size prints, could have been walking from a hunting camp on the shore of Lake Ontario to what is now downtown Toronto. Back then the shoreline would have been more than a kilometre further south. The story is told in a new book, Toronto, a short illustrated history of its first 12,000 years. Tragically, the prints were never preserved. Though it seems shocking that a find of such importance was unceremoniously buried beneath tons of concrete, a similar attitude towards the archaeological history of the First Nations people still prevails. Archaeologists digging at the site of a medieval castle in County Roscommon in Ireland found a treasure trove of Iron Age pottery and flint tools that are at least 3,000 years old. Not what you'd expect when you're investigating the foundations of a 16th century building, but not that surprising, given the site is a stone's throw from Rathcrogan, reputed to be the burial ground and inauguration site of the ancient kings of Connacht. At first glance, Croghan Eye Heritage Centre in Tusk looks no more than like an inviting coffee shop on the banks of the picturesque river. But it was also the home of the legendary warrior Queen Maeve, one of the most important Celtic royal sites in Europe, and the site and seat of O'Connor chieftains. Putting Rathcrogan in context by comparing it with Tara, the reply from the visitor centre is older and bigger. The central focus of the interpretative centre, Rathcrogan Mound, is the ceremonial structure associated with pre-Christian ritual. Most of the important sites in the complex date from the Late Bronze Age and the Iron Age. Funding from the Andrew W. Mellon Foundation will support a project at the University of York in England to find exciting new ways of making academic research material available online. The New York-based foundation has awarded $250,000 to the study led by Professor Julian Richards, head of the Department of Archaeology and co-director of the online journal Internet Archaeology. The latest research will build on work completed as part of an award-winning earlier project known as LEAP, Linking Electronic Archives and Publications, which was funded by the Arts and Humanities Research Council. The primary goal of the new project, Making the Leap 2, a transatlantic leap, is to support the publication of archaeological research from 4 North American projects in internet archaeology. But watch out, as they say, the system is months off offering something very similar, and it certainly didn't cost $250,000. We will be able to report on this new system as soon as we gain more details. That's something exciting for 2009, I'd say. And finally, I just had news that Cresswell Crags has received the superb news that the principal funding is now in place to build a new Ice Age centre at the site in Cresswell Crags in England. This will safeguard the future of this nationally important monument. So again, I think we're going to be hearing more about that coming up in 2009, and we'll be reporting on it as and when it happens. I'd like to just remind people that there's a few good websites to have a look at out there, including, of course, Preservation Today. You find that at www.preservationtoday.com. And, of course, Past Horizons. You'll get a wealth of information there, www.pasthorizons.com. And there you get access to the online magazine, the directory of volunteer projects across the world, of course, this podcast itself, news, and yes, even an archaeology tool store. Can I remind people also that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, well, those that are left at the moment, we're actually going through a very sticky point in UK archaeology, can be found at Badger, www.bajr.org. We've also set up Facebook pages, so if you're on Facebook and you'd like to join in, then just pop along, type in either BAJR or of course Past Horizons, and look forward to seeing you there. Remember that more can always be found at Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. Thanks so much for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you'll return again to us next week.